In progress.
Welcome to a muzzled chat. This one's gonna be fun, folks. I have Melinda here. She's another podcaster. Not to say I'm more experienced because I just dove right in, but because we're both relatively new. But boy, as I'm looking over her titles here, we are seeking kind of a similar mission here. And, you know, with that, I mean, my gosh, welcome, Melinda. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How about yourself?
I am well. Thank you. Little tired, but that's just Lyme for you. I always got Lyme brain, always a little lethargic, but I'm getting better each day. And I want to challenge all of our listeners today, even the healthy, if you're not fighting some crazy bioweapon disease, like acknowledge, like look around. We can see a huge level of deterioration, and there's proof all of around us with the simple fact, like, we become very self-centered, very selfish. A lot of people just run with talking points. They're not doing their due diligence. They're drinking the Kool-Aid of the war machine mainstream media and lost critical thinking. Like, it's healthy to question things. So let's stop putting labels on things, break barriers down. And I think the root of a lot of that for folks, it just starts with their general health. So stop eating poisons and drinking poisons and getting active, right? So you actually were saying you just got back from the chiropractor. So you're a pretty physical woman. You got some things coming up.
Yeah, I actually was selected to run the USA Women's Half Marathon. It's a lottery / luxury race. Mm. And I got selected to do that in Nashville. So that's coming up May 19th. And
way cool.
It's just for women. And it's every music lover's dream race. Wow. So I get to start at the Opry. Starts, I believe, at the Opry Resort, and then it ends at the Opry, the old Opry House. And then I get to be blessed to have men in tuxedos hand me a medal. So,
way cool. Line. I have to look into that. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. So, been running half marathons for a while. I ran cross country in junior high and high school, kind of just followed in my dad's and my brother's footsteps. And, I was a big Steve Prefontaine fan.
Oh, there we go.
I always loved one of his quotes. I think I had that when Facebook first started back in the day. I think it was like 2008 Facebook was introduced. And it's like, what is this? Like, it's not MySpace. Like, I was so into MySpace back then and this other social.
You're dating us.
Right?
The younglings are like, what's MySpace?
Then I got introduced to Twitter along the same time. My life was like, what is all this social?
Mm.
Like, all my friends kept being like, you got to join. My ex-husband was like, you got to join Twitter. You got to follow this person.
Mm.
And I was like, do I really have to, though?
Right.
Like, So there's that. But he always said that to sacrifice the gift is something about that is like you're sacrificing basically if you give up the gift that God has given you and to sacrifice that the best that you could give, you're basically sacrificing the gift.
Wow. Tell us about resilient angels. Why kick this off? Why expose yourself in this regard? This is a very humbling adventure to go on, you know, just putting out content, speaking your mind. Some may even say in today's day and age, it could be dangerous, right? There's actual journalists getting freaking doxxed and arrested right here in this country. So, tell us a bit about you and why kick this off and what, in your own words, what you're trying to achieve.
So have always had kind of that entrepreneurial spirit, and I've always wanted to use my voice for good. I got into songwriting and writing when I was young, but I never got the courage. Like I got the courage once to take one of my songs to a studio when I was 13. And I've been writing since I was 11 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to like create this girl band and all that. And, you know, I was like, well, Britney Spears, you know, I was like big into Britney Spears, and I was big into like the 50s big band. Like I was like, man, so I grew up listening to all the classics like Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and Dean Martin. And my mom always liked to compare my voice to Rosemary Clooney's and Nancy Sinatra's. Like I actually had a choir teacher who she heard me sing, and she was like, she sounds a lot like Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Were Made for Walking.
Oh, that's cool.
So there was always that. And then I just started writing more motivational, inspirational. I'd get up and speak in church and I'd have so many people be like, do you understand the impact that you just made in church today? The influence. And I had one person come up to me. She was a church leader of mine. And she was like, you are going to be a leader one day. And one day the world is going to hear your voice. And you're going to be up there speaking. So the more I reflected on that, and I've been divorced, it will be 7 years in July, but I came up there. I was always told by my counselors when I went to therapy to help kind of deal with the trauma. And one of my mentors said, eventually I was going to have to share my story, as scary as it is, knowing what my ex-husband is like, and knowing that my ex-husband did threaten me about a year ago. He threatened me in 2022, and I actually just shared with my dad the message that he threatened me with.
Oh, wow.
Just because I was trying to raise awareness. I never mentioned his name. Not a lot of people know on that follow me. I've never ever mentioned his name, never mentioned his new wife's name on social media. So to be threatened with him trying to sue me for defamation. And then when I talked to a mentor about that, they're like, you eventually are going to need to share your story because you are an inspiration and your story is going to help so many other single moms who have been basically like I did. I signed my full custody over, and it was only supposed to be temporary. And I went on this self-discovery, but I did not want to sign. I did not want to sign. And the fact that he continues to ask me if I'm ever going to be involved, but then continues to say that I abandoned my kids, even though we were all in agreement, my kids, him, the judge, and I, before I signed full custody to him of me moving out of state to better myself a little bit, to get in a better financial situation. And I took a role as a personal assistant to go help a nonprofit, a starter foundation that wanted to help veterans. So I thought in a way I was going to go do some good. And I needed to also do something. And in the back of my mind, I kept hearing Resilient Angel. I kept hearing that. And I always wanted to do like open wedding business, be a wedding planner as well, and kind of have this whole big ambitious dream. But I've always been big into personal development, and I've always been big into health and wellness. I started out kind of getting back. I knew if I was going to head towards divorce, I needed to figure out how to make an income, but also try to be there while my kids were still in their young, my daughters were still in their young, beginning years, which are the most important years, the between 0 and 5. And I put my daughter in one of the best charter schools. So she's born in September, right? So she also she didn't meet the deadline, but she was socially ready. Like, her preschool teacher from the get-go said that she was one of the most socially well-communicated students. She was a fast learner. So she's like, I would recommend putting her in this school, just seeing if she passes. So I took her for an evaluation. Lo and behold, she passed. And I was like, you know, I think this is going to be good. And then she wanted to try out for cheer. I was always I was told before when my grandma passed away, she made me promise her. So whatever I do, make sure that I carry the arts and that I keep passing on music and dance too. And whatever, she left all of my family with a little bit of some trust money.
Wow.
She told me, make sure I use most of that to go towards my daughter's dreams. So I put a lot into my daughter starting her cheer competition. So she's in competitive cheer. I was lucky to have an invite. So I did go and watch her cheer. And I was shocked that my youngest daughter stood up to her dad and stepmom and wanted to come and talk to me, because I received a voice memo, and I did not call them that night. And it said that I tried to call, and it just really sounded coerced. So I bounce back from some of the things that should break a person the biggest. I have lost almost everything I felt, everything I owned, about 3 times.
Wow. Yeah, undoubtedly, what you've just uncovered already vulnerably about yourself and your walk in this life. I mean, we all got our challenges, but I mean, the weight of some of the ones you've already expressed, I could only imagine, you know. And obviously a lot to dive into and unpack there, but you seem very resilient, healthy, happy, at peace to an extent where you're even, you know, trying to help others. And it just goes to show, I could see you could help a lot of young women out there overcome some grave challenges just through your experience, undoubtedly. So, I'd imagine that has a lot to do with, so you started thinking of resilient angels, you've had a voice, singing and all of that, but now you kicked this podcast off, and some of these titles, like, how freaking cool. I started listening to your latest, Strength Through Perseverance. It sounds like you were just kind of on a trail walking, which kind of just brought you into kind of your journey there a bit in that podcast. It was pretty cool. But some of these titles: When Opportunity Knocks, Taking Healthy Risks, Having a Disciplined Mindset, Self-Compassion, Self-Love and Self-Care, Confidence Developing, Confidence in God, Self in Relationships, Facing Fears and Overcoming Fear. Wow, that's a big one. So that is, it's really interesting. Like, we can really only speak from our experiences, and it's cool that you're taking these vulnerable steps, because I mean, whether or not as an individual we resonate with the masses or not, it almost becomes irrelevant as long as it resonates with someone, helps clear their path, their challenge, just in the slightest way. Like, it could be very instrumental. I mean, could even potentially be life-saving, because it's no secret that especially the littles now, we've not even littles, like I was reading some stats the other day, like, not even to whatever, like, even middle-aged men, like, how actually terrible it is. But we live in the most suicidal generation ever throughout human history, and it's really sad because so you know, to challenge people, like, well, what is that? And the more we could look inwardly and stop victimizing ourselves and kind of start honing in on what we have within our control, breakthroughs can really happen. So I love nothing more than people's, like, personal experiences and all of that. And I feel the world now intentionally, like, globalists are, like, infiltrating things to enhance our delusional states, our illnesses, our confusion. And I love podcast how you mentioned, like, with so much, it's kind of even brought everything full circle and encompassed, like, how you even want to, like, break some generational curses. You want to be the first among family, like, really tear down a lot of these constructed walls that our society, our educations, all these things have built around us, not to our benefit.
So yeah, we've definitely grew up. I probably grew up in pretty sheltered.
Yeah.
But I've definitely feel like I've always had a growth mindset. I've always been open, a little bit more open-minded, even though I had someone tell me I was so closed-minded. But the more I see more people around me that are closed-minded and don't have this broad vision of what things could really be for the better. Mm. And right now, sadly, we have so many people that don't do the research for themselves, don't go and make decisions for themselves and find the truth out for themselves. So to see so many of these people that we've looked up to for so long in public media actually coming out and speaking what really goes on behind the scenes, it's like, okay, it's about time people actually are starting to take a stand and that they're willing to actually risk their life to save another person from regretting selling their soul to for just a little bit of money and attention and fame.
Yeah.
And I have so much mad respect for so many independent artists, but I also have mad respect for artists that are signed to a label too, but use their voice more for good and come out and actually speak vulnerability and truth and show people that they're going through similar things just as normal. And a lot of them just want to be seen as just another person, but that was the career path they chose.
Right. Not even
they
knowing.
They don't want to be put on this pedestal.
Right. So many people weren't even aware as to, like, the level of corruption in these industries. And I like how you just highlighted, I mean, like, kind of pre-show too, is like red pill, blue pill, right?
You know? And what are we going to, which side are you going to?
Golly, we got to stop putting ourselves in freaking boxes. Like, there's no financial gains worth selling your soul. We're all visitors here, right? And there's nothing conspiratorial about it. So many, like, all these industries have been corporatized, infiltrated, and you see it from Hollywood, from the music industry, politics even. But for whatever reason, folks are just dropping out, selling out. So I think it really comes down to now, like, these alternative, like, media sites, it's not needed. You don't need those labels. I mean, like, look at Oliver Anthony, right? And how you can actually speak out on the corruption in a song, and overnight it just blows the, what would you say, blows off the charts?
It pops the charts.
It
gets blown up overnight. It becomes a top sensational.
Right.
It's on the top 40 billboards, most likely.
And on individual levels, you don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be an athlete. You don't have to be a politician to grasp and understand and break those barriers down within your mind is to, because the worst type of censorship out there is self-censorship. And there's too many people not realizing the level of manipulation that's happening on TikTok, on YouTube, still to this day, Facebook and Instagram. It is so heavily censored, and going into 2024, it's only going to get worse. So in an information age, the most important thing you could do is source information. Like,
yeah, it's definitely eye-awakening for sure. It's right. It's mind-blowing just to see, you know, how we've been raised. Like, I was just having this conversation with a friend yesterday, and I was just like, it's really sad how we grow up in a society where so many people think celebrities can only date celebrities or marry celebrities, and that athletes can only marry supermodels or that. But in reality, if you really look at it, a lot of them were dating before they even made it big, or a lot of them want to date a normal person that isn't part of the industry. But so it's really sad just to kind of see how much control media has played on TV. For us, when we grew up, how many of us were glued to the TV after school? And today, how many of us are guilty of being so distracted and being on this all the time?
Right.
So that is one of the reasons why I have to step aside a lot and I get out in nature. But I just did a social media detox for the last 2 weeks where I limited my time, and I was only maybe checking in 5-10 minutes just to respond to a text message, maybe post a story here or there, but I wasn't scrolling. And it was so refreshing to know that I had this discipline. I finally put that discipline to the test to break that cycle of the scrolling that I always found myself so warped in, and I think so many of us get warped into. And I started to realize that's what they want from us. They want to isolate us. They want us hooked to these devices and distracting us from what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And then it was kind of a wake up call. I was listening to Dr. Mark Hyman. And then I was also listening to an episode that Lewis Howes had just basically put out with Matthew Hussey. And it just really was just like, oh my gosh, it's even hard to go and meet just a person these days and have a normal conversation face to face. Like, what happened to those days where you could actually sit across from somebody, put the phone down,
right,
and literally have a good, deep, in-depth conversation. And I kind of miss those. And I was just like, yeah. And then I do find it odd. I do tend to have more guy friends than I do women. And I don't know if it's just because I always had a stronger connection and a bond with my brothers than I did my sisters. But when those daughters of mine came along, like, there's just this bond between me that no matter how many people try to break that bond between us, it's going to be there forever, no matter how far apart we are and know how many years it's been since we've really talked. But I'm still fighting every single day to be able to get that time with them that I know that the judge said he would gracefully grant me, because he does believe even out of state, I have every right to rebuild a healthy relationship that was wrongfully taken away from me.
Wow. That sounds like a grave challenge. What's kept you strong through all that? What are some, give us some of your tools that's helped you. And I mean,
so yeah. I definitely turn a lot to good music, mm-hmm. or just music that inspires me, but it's also, it's my faith. It's my faith in mm-hmm. God. It's believing that I have a savior that, you know, he took all of this pain upon himself for me, but also knowing that sometimes we have to go through these hardships to only help us grow and become stronger. And I've had my fair share of, you know, bullying from different women. And, but I think for me, it's always been just standing up for what I strongly believe in and, you know, caring a lot about people, even when it's hard. And I've had toxic friendships. I've had toxic relationships with family members, you know, currently going through, you know, it's not been easy living with my older sister. And just trying to help her, but not her really getting the proper help that she really needs. It's like, how can I can't continue to help someone who doesn't really want to help themselves or listen right. to somebody who's actually been through it before. So just, you know, I've got my tool belt. Like I said, I've got my podcasts I listen to, the life coaches that I strongly turn to that I know are also men of faith and give the credit to God, and right. they don't take credit fully for themselves. So to me, it's just knowing that I've got a good support system, but also knowing that I had to let go of some people in my life that I couldn't take with me, that weren't growing with me or
right.
fully could see my vision. But I'm like, you know what? God didn't plant the vision in your head. He didn't plant the dream in your head. He planted that dream in mine. He gave me that vision.
Wow.
And no matter how long it takes me to get there, mm-hmm. I just have to keep moving forward. And
I love that.
It's like climbing on a mountain. You got to keep climbing until you get to that peak. And yeah. sometimes on that peak is when you find the greatest strength and you get the closest to God.
Well, it sounds like you got discernment, and that's a gift. And it's just like no one we as humans in this form, we long to be liked and have people upon people around us and whatnot. So no one wants to lose relations, but to be able to discern and acknowledge and see and set healthy boundaries and, kind of just acknowledge when we barely can hone in the resilience to like kind of control on the inside. Obviously, we have no control over anyone else, nor should we even desire that. I think a huge part of all this with relations is that's been lost is the art of communication. You know, just being able to effectively sit down, share words back and forth and thoughts back and forth without reactions of defensive, offensive, you know, stances. It's as though people like may in fact get attacking or negative or it gets absorbed that way, when in the end of the day, it's really weird. It's just words, right? It's not like you're actually getting a dagger inserted into your side. You know, we should be able to absorb, seek to understand, work out those differences, because at the end of the day, and that's where I love you brought in God into it, because it's like we seek our Lord and Savior Jesus. Clearly, he paved the way. So as long as like we're somewhat trying to walk in those footsteps, and we are able to like keep love for that other individual at like our, at our heart of hearts, then there shouldn't be any, and that's mutually like respected. No matter what the situation, we should be able to navigate through the talking parts of it all to understand where each person is and strengthen relations through these experiences and not blow them to heck, you know?
Yeah, I think what's really sad is so many people just want this power, and then we live in this greed world where it's instant gratification.
Power and to be right.
Right? It's like, well, I get that in leadership, but a true leader knows how to actually work with the people. They know how to communicate properly with their team, and they know how to agree to disagree in a proper way and find a way to meet in the middle where it can be a true win-win for everybody. And too many times I feel like so many people, and I realized I didn't want to be one of those people that hides behind a mask. Mm-hmm. Like what people see online with me is truly what they get in person with me as well. Like I am a very vivacious, bubbly person, but online you've seen, you also see that depth of me. You've seen the tears I've cried. You've seen the pain I've gone through. You've seen things that I've endured, races I've conquered with, you know, finding out I have spinal stenosis and been battling thoracic outlet syndrome since I was 14 years old, and went through a, I went through a concussion about a month after my last serious relationship and a breakup. And, that was hard, but I had committed a year to God to not get back into a serious relationship, take time to heal, figure out what I wanted to do. And then guess what happened? With six months down the road, you know, we're hearing things about things closing, pandemic on the rise. And I remember being in a vein doctor and seeing all these things about COVID. I'm like, what the crap is COVID? Like, what's going on? And then a month later, finding out my eyeglass shop's having to close for a month because of government regulations. And I took that month. My younger brother was getting married. I was like, you know what? I have this time. You need a witness. It was crazy. I had a dream. And I told my brother this. I was like, you know, the strange thing is I had a dream that you were actually going to be getting remarried before I got remarried. And I saw this lady with dark brown hair in this dream. Well, my ex-sister-in-law, he's been married twice, but she had long dark hair. And
oh, wow.
I knew at the moment I needed to be there. So I drove the full 17 hours straight from Arizona to Junction City, Kansas, just to be there. Wow. And the day after I got there, they finally received their marriage certificate to be able to get married. So that is definitely the power of prayer and faith and stepping into the unknown and going when God calls you to go, despite what might come about it.
Right.
So now I'm just living life to the fullest. Went full-blown entrepreneurship, trying to build this little Resilient Angels brand up, and tackling debt and trying to eventually save up to get a home of my own, hopefully, if I don't get remarried by then, you know. Right. But I've left like my whole entire love life into God's hands. So
Well, that's a good place to rest it, for sure. And I mean, it's just so wild. You mentioned the pandemic. I mean, like we mentioned before, it is clear as day that, and this should ramp up the pressure on everyone, whether it be some family members or friends or enemies or anyone in this life. Like, when you acknowledge and recognize that we are living in war times.
Yeah.
And it's fifth generation warfare. It's a type of warfare we're unfamiliar with. It's for the hearts and minds of the people. And the globalists, like the World Economic Forum and such, even state out loud, boldly, arrogantly, that they have the technology to control the masses. And I believe more and more each and every day that that's clear. In so many cases where people have entirely lost reason, have lost reality, have lost discernment, like they're standing on these fictional platforms screaming from the rooftops as though they're speaking truth and they're right, but they won't even listen anymore. So what's wild for anyone that finds themselves even in that position or at against, like at odds, we are not each other's enemies. There, at the end of the day, evil is running rampant and has been pitting us all against each other. Divided, we're weak and conquerable. United, we're strong and undefeatable. They've taken God out. They're destroying the family. They're pitting everyone, you know, feeding pride, ego.
Yeah, you're right. We've literally, I believe, opened up to that war between good and evil.
Yeah.
But I also know that Christ said also to love your enemies. Yes. He never said you have to like them.
Right. Well,
he said love.
As I draw nearer and rely more, it's interesting. I still feel, and that's a beautiful thing about a relationship with Christ. It's like, there really isn't advancement. There's just a deeper understanding. And as you acquire more deeper understanding, there's more humility. It's more humbling. It's not like of the world. As you're learning something, you're feeling more of an expert. I'm feeling more and more like a newborn. But it's pretty cool is that's deepening. I more so able to acquire and muster up that love for my enemies, the ones inflicting pain and suffering on my loved ones. Now, don't get it confused. I hate the sin, right? And I can see how evil has manipulated these individuals, whether from ones I haven't met, don't know, from like the top of the top or ones I run into in my daily that have just drank the Kool-Aid, you know, my heart can go out to them and I try to minister in a way or I try to speak truth in a way. And I don't know why Christians have like lost that. I mean, I'm going to be making another episode actually here tonight. At least a clip. Retouching on evil's recent play on the resurrection of Christ.
Being, I heard about that.
Being Easter. Yeah, evil boldly and Joe Biden's administration making the claim is to Transvisibility Day on Resurrection Day. Like it's a direct attack. Well, I'm actually very excited to... Because like I don't know if it was a Trump campaign that came out with it, but someone very cleverly came out with like, yeah. Hey, we must make, and it will be like this next November, like election cycle, a Christian Day of Visibility. So I'm kind of pre going over the episode I'm going to be creating where it's like, look, we must organize and take like-minded action in a positive way. And this is, if we assemble as Christians and have Christian Day of Visibility, aka on election day, and show up and vote, right? It's actually these type of tactics are gonna pay out in our favor. So it's just when evil can so boldly stand, like we must, it's just like that adage, evil wins when good people do nothing. So we must stand in our truths. We must speak clearly and loudly, not hatefully, not spitefully, lovingly, but boldly, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy just to see the numbers, just watching news clip, just to see the numbers of how many voters are unphotographed, un-ID'd voters, and how many of those are actually the illegal immigrants, possibly. Wow. It just really makes you think, what are we prepared for? Are we prepared? How many of us are preparing for the rare chance, but it could very much happen, that we do go off the power grid? How many people are going to be able to buy without their phones?
Yeah.
What happens to digital currency if the internet goes out? What happens to all that digital currency? Like, these are questions that constantly are playing in my mind. And I'm like, I'm glad my dad taught me how to camp. I'm glad somebody taught me how to fish. I'm glad I learned how to run in the rain, as much as I don't like running in the rain. Like, these things that, and then, you know, I started doing cold plunges here and there. I don't do them every day. Like, I got brave and I finally started tackling them here and there.
Can't see the future, but yeah, it's crucial we all get prepared. It's crucial
to prepare and just, and I think I'm just like, crap, I wish I would have listened when I was a kid of how important having a 3 to 6 month stockpile, emergency stockpile was, and having a 3 to 6 month emergency savings, because you never know when the unexpected might happen and you lose your job, or, you know, tornado takes down your house, or a hurricane. So there's so many natural disasters going on right now around the world that it's just like, it's sad, but it's also kind of amazing at the same time, just to see some of those signs that we have been taught of what to look for.
Right.
But we're also living in a world full of deception, and we've been taught to, you know, be very careful and to know who is trying to deceive us from the truth. And like you said, that's kind of where I wanted to help people be resilient through overcoming challenges and hardship, but also still having hope that better days can come and that you can make a difference despite the hardships that you're going through, and that you can overcome, and you just have to take it day by day. Sometimes I have to take it minute by minute and hour by hour. And I wanted to break that generational curse in my family and not be scared of the public eye and actually get my voice out there for good. And it was always told, even in Matthew, it says to let your light so shine so that others may see your good works. And that was something that I just realized that maybe I was an instrument in God's hands to be a light in his hands and to spread the light amidst the darkness that we are going through.
I love that. That could be the sole challenge for all of our listeners for the day. I mean, once again, we're all visiting. And some people might say, well, what a dark, gloomy, like, kind of point to make. But it's beautiful. It just shows it leads to a life full of meaning and peace when you start seeking to understand it all. Yeah, we've, for whatever reason, to our own detriment, through our own traumas, have kind of like avoided for a long time, or for certain individuals, and I kind of just speak for myself, that avoided going down that road, and it just led to self-serving, selfish, and there's just nothing satisfactory through living a life that way. And I could see all the suffering around me reflecting back. I was causing, you know. So listeners, be sure to check out the comments, because we're gonna add Melinda's podcast link. You're exclusively on Spotify for the time being.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you'll be on others here in the future.
Hopefully soon. Yeah.
But Spotify is a good one. And if you have any other social links, be sure to send them over. I can add them in the descriptions. Any other exposures on the world you want to touch on, or pointers to anyone going through, let's just say, a hard time?
I think it takes a lot of courage to dig deep and to sit and process your emotions.
Mm.
Figure out why you might be feeling angry or upset. And sometimes we have to sit with, and we have to experience and re-experience and relive through some of that trauma, but we can't completely heal until we actually do that. And sometimes that does take a therapist to help us navigate through those and process those feelings. But I also think you can become resilient without becoming bitter and closed off and cold-hearted. Like, I've had to learn to knock down some of my own walls I built up, and to not be so guarded like I used to. But I also have learned to be cautious and to use that gift of discernment to know who's good to be in my life and not to be in my life. And I've had to block many people that are pretending to be somebody that they aren't, and hiding behind somebody else's stolen picture. It is just kind of the age we're living in.
Gosh dang,
bro. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's unfair to a lot of these people that are just, I just feel bad that there's so many people's pictures that are being, it happened to me. No. Somebody stole my picture and pretended to be me on Instagram. And I immediately had to get it shut down and raise awareness to people and be like, that's not me. First thing was, they liked a video of mine. And I was like, that's not my profile, but it was a picture of me. So I immediately contacted Instagram. I reported it. I had other people report it. But I see it happen to a few of my other friends too. It's just, it's pretty sad that people have to use other attractive people to, you know, catfish and scam people out of thousands of dollars, or instead of doing the honest work or just being honest about what they're going through and why they really need the help. Or like, I think if we actually all started being more honest, how much better this world could be than hiding behind lies and deceit and upper elite powers.
Yeah.
That just don't really truly care about us.
Let's jump out of the pot of boiling water before it kills us. And we can't, I mean, it's crazy. The digital age, we clearly haven't adapted as like even a species to cope and deal with all these modern technological advances. It's just clear we haven't kept up, and they've been created kind of intentionally more so to our detriment than our benefits. But we have the opportunity to acknowledge and see like the ones that aren't good for us, the ones that are suppressing speech. Because if we lose that alone, then no good will come of it. No good. Like we must get off. Well, we must, if I see how you could still use YouTube to a benefit and TikTok in these highly censored places, but we gotta pull people from those and get on the alternate sources. Otherwise, too many are just gonna stay manipulated, gaslit. They're gonna believe the lies, and they're just gonna fall prey to all of evil's nefarious plans and deceit, like just like the pandemic. I'll throw it out there. That was a great blessing in a huge way. It's been the most red pilling experience that I can see. People have just woken up and are kind of just getting on board and ensuring.
Yeah. During that time, I think there was a lot of good, and there was also a lot of bad. Lot of good that came out of it. Like, so many people started businesses online, and, you know, a lot of people started podcast shows, started becoming their own bosses after they were let go. You know, it opened doorways for me. I actually started putting myself out there a lot more during 2020 on Instagram than I was. You know, I was recently, I stepped away from being a Beachbody health coach. Now it's body. And then, so it's like, I've tried different multi-level marketing or net marketing companies, but it just never like really sit right with me. It didn't feel like that was my true purpose. Like, I knew I was always meant to help people, but I knew there was something bigger and more for me. And I remember saying in a 4th of July video during 2020, I put it out on Facebook, and I remember saying, we get to make the choice. Are we going to use technology for good, or are we going to use technology for bad and to hurt people? I would rather use it for good and to spread positivity and awareness to help others than to use it to bring people down.
I like that. We all should strive to do just that. Well, this was a fun chat, Melinda. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you're trying to do here. Listeners, be sure to support her, check out her content. We need more of that in this world. That's just a fact. And the more we could create that community, we'll create the proper momentum to right this ship, or minimally get people to find their peace and meaning in this life and fulfill their purpose. That's the point of it all. So even if we don't right this ship, the more that could come into themselves, like obviously, like in the fulfill the why we're here. That's it, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
All right.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, listeners. Thanks so much for joining us today. God bless you. We will talk to you soon.